Happiness comes not from how busy I am, but why I am busy. Happiness comes not from how busy I am, but why I am busy. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly with a thought for today. I praise the bee and swat the mosquito. They're both very busy. The bee is busy and the mosquito is busy. But the bee is busy making honey for me, and the mosquito is busy making breakfast for himself. So I'm not too interested in the mosquito's work, am I? Happiness, it comes not from how busy I am, but why I am busy. And that's true. That's true. Stop and think about it. Every day, we have the privilege of getting up in the morning. Now, we were talking about Jerome, and we were saying Jerome is a very unique young man. When Jerome wakes up in the morning, he's got a smile on his face, first thing. And he looks around at the room, he says, "Boy, what a wonderful day. My goodness, I'm going to have fun today." And he looks outside and sees the sun. "Wow, it's a sunny day." He looks outside and sees the rain. "Great, I'm going to wear my raincoat today." He looks outside and sees the snow. He says, "Can I take my sled to school? You know, can I take my skis to school?" And Grossi says, "Not today, not today." "Okay, no sweat." He is filled with joy and filled with enthusiasm and filled with love and filled with happiness because he generates it inside himself. Now, Grossi, on the other hand, she looks out and says, "Uh-oh, it's a rainy day. Better put another rug in front of the door so we don't track in all the water and have to do this and that and these other little chores." If Rosie could just be like the kid, Jerome. How old is Jerome? 7, 8, 9? 12? 12? My goodness, he grows so fast. And at the age of 12, he is already a bubble of energy, a bubble of light, a bubble of love, and everybody who sees him just falls in love with him. Now, why don't they all fall in love with Grossi too? They do. Well, now, the reason they wouldn't fall in love with Grossi is that Grossi determines who are going to be her very close friends. But she cannot stop the world from loving her. But when you look at Jerome, and what does he do when he gets up? What does he do when he goes to bed? What does he do when he goes to school? What does he do when he talks to his teacher? What does he do when he talks to his friends? Do his friends follow him home from school, wanting to be with him? Do his friends want to have him around them wherever they are? When his friends have to face a difficulty with their parents, do they want to take Jerome home? They could take any kid at home they want, you know, but if they take Jerome home, he's such a compulsively precious, winning person that the parents of his friends would not feel that they could be angry at their son in front of Jerome because he's such a happy guy. Now, let's ask this question. Is Jerome a busy guy? No, Jerome is not a busy guy. Jerome is always doing something, but he's not busy. Everything that Jerome does looks like it is just spontaneously done on the moment, as though he hadn't prepared for it, hadn't planned on it. He just entered into whatever he was doing. He goes to the soccer game, and the coach says, "Do this, do that." And he had planned on doing that. He was ready for whatever. And the coach says, "Don't do this or don't do that." And he had planned on doing whatever the coach asked him to do. He was just very happy. And when it's time to eat his meals, he sits down at the table. He politely says, "This food is healthy for my body and filled with love." And then he eats. He eats like his parents wished they ate, like his friends wished they ate. He eats with such exquisite manners that he is a marvel to be with. He doesn't shovel it in like most of us, you know. He doesn't eat faster and get the dessert. He doesn't care if the dessert comes or not. He just eats gently, slowly, lovingly, looking around, with seeing what's going on, what other people are doing. He's not so interested in his food that he doesn't care about anything else. He's not so busy. You see, he's not a busy boy, and yet he is doing more things than another child his age, doing the same things and looking busy. We have a statement, it's called busy work. And here on the campus of the University of Healing, we express busy work continuously. And most officers do that too, but we express it here. And we are doing things to look busy. And it's not because we want to get some work done, but it's because we want to look busy. If we are sitting at our computers and we're playing a game and somebody walks in, we just instantly press a button and up comes our work. And we are so busy working. But you see, all you have to do is go to your history on your computer and press that, and it tells you where you've been. You've been on your game. You've been on writing letters to your aunt and your uncle and your grandma and your grandpa and your mother and father and your sisters and brothers. I mean, it's all right there. And any good executive or boss who is in charge of a group of people knows these things. And you know, the simplest way to do it is you go in their office and then you send them out on a task that's going to take them at least 10 minutes. And you just go to their computer and press history button and up comes everything, and then you know everything. Now, you don't really care. But this is what you do care about. You say to them, okay, now I'd like this job to get done so we can go on with that. Oh, I don't have time. I don't have time. I'm so busy. You know? And if they say that, then you know you can't trust them, because they have been playing when they should have been working. Now, if they say, yes, glad to get it done, I'll do it right now, then you don't care if they fool around. You don't care if they fool around, because they take their responsibility properly. But if they lie about it, if they say, I'm so busy, I don't have time for that, and then you go and you find out that they've been sitting on the internet for about 20 minutes or 30 minutes, and they've been doing this and doing that, and you say, well, what have you been doing that you haven't had a chance to get done? Oh, I have had so many things to do, you know? Never lie. Never lie. Always say, I'll be glad to get it done for you. And then you take yourself right off the hook. Because you certainly have a right to go fooling around, looking at things on the computer now and then, and playing a game now and then. This is all part of the thing. But it's not part of the thing if you have a job to get done and you're supposed to be doing it at that moment. You follow me? So be aware. Be aware. If this is what I say to Ellen. Ellen, I want you to be a good boss. And Ellen says, I am a good boss. She says, I make everybody happy. I said, that's right, because you're an idiot. You make everybody happy because they know you haven't the vaguest idea what their work entails. And I say to Ellen, go and be aware of everyone's job. Know how to do that job. Know how much time it takes to do it. You don't have to do the job, but you have to know. And then if they don't get that job done in at least twice the time it takes a normal person to get it done, then you know that there's something that's a problem. There's something going on. Always know how to do everything. Now, Ellen has shown signs of waking up on this. I asked for the key for the front gate so I could check the battery there, and Ellen says, don't you check it without me. I want to know how that is repaired and how that's fixed. And then I said to Ellen, why doesn't the jacuzzi warm up nicely? And she says, well, it's this, it's that, it's the other thing. I said, well, have you tried it? Yes, I've tried it, and it didn't work either. And I said, well, why don't you call the company? Call and get the information right from them. And she called, and then she found out is a very simple little technique to keep it going, and that was what she put into practice. And when she put that little technique into practice, it didn't work. Well, now she cannot be unhappy with anybody that it didn't work, because she knows what makes it work, and that didn't make it work. You follow me? So now she understands why anyone else would say that it doesn't work. Okay, I say I want to be happy. I would like our jacuzzi to register the proper temperature so that it would be comfortable to get into it, instead of like getting into just a warm cup of water, you know. And so I say, Ellen, check with the company. Make me happy. Check with the company. Do what has to be done to have it taken care of. And it is something, because it is not functioning right. And there should be a special lock on it that only the administrator knows. You know what I mean? Like on your computer. Only the administrator knows. And nobody else knows it. Nobody else knows it. And only the administrator goes in there. I was in Costco, this wonderful big store that covers several square miles of land, it seems. And as I was walking in the door, they have their return department right there at the door. And they have maybe about 7, 8, 10 people there, each working on returns, because they process an awful lot of merchandise there. And naturally, some things don't work. So I had taken back a piece, and they checked it over, and they said, fine. And then the girl said, oh, Miss Jones. And Miss Jones came over to her cash register, and then the lady walked away from her cash register. And Miss Jones went, brrr, touched 5 or 6 buttons there, which was the approval key for that transaction. Now, Miss Jones didn't have the vaguest idea what the transaction was. She knew that she had to be asked. She knew that she had to give approval for it. But the clerk did not know her approval code. If the clerk knew her approval code, the clerk could just do it herself, you know. But then this Miss Jones wouldn't have a job of going around giving her approval code. And this, they have a number of people throughout all the store in all of the checkout areas and so forth who have to give approval for certain types of things. And they were there to do it. Now, why don't they just give the approval code to the clerk, because the clerk's going to have it already anyhow, and it's going to be approved anyhow? Procedure. The clerk is not dishonest, but the clerk is inclined more to be not dishonest when their work is checked by their supervisor, by someone who has to give approval for doing what they do. And the person who gives approval looks occasionally to see what is going on, not all the time, but they look occasionally. Now, this makes everybody happy. This makes management happy. This makes people happy all the way down. And so it is when we figure out finally how to make the jacuzzi work so that it'll function perfectly. We don't tell anybody how to do it. You see, here is why I say that. Gregor knew how to run the jacuzzi. And Gregor, before he left, ran a tour of everyone on how to do it. And nobody understood. Then Anita and John were working on it separately, and they couldn't figure it out. And so they had to have the company come down here and show them specially. And so then Anita learned. Then later the company came down again and showed John how to do it, because Anita couldn't tell John how to do it. And so I said, now when you do this, take your video camera and make a videotape of it, and that might help. Well, even that didn't help, because nobody knows where the videotape is. It's somewhere floating around among all the videotapes that we have, and it doesn't have the proper label on it. See, that's one of the things that we have never learned to do. We have never learned to label our videos and audio tapes so that when we want to have them for some other reason, we could have them. Now, that would make me very happy. But happiness comes not from how busy I am, but why I am busy. So I have given up on being happy because of what other people do. If not that I don't care, I will not make myself responsible for what other people are doing. I will just let them do whatever they want to do, and if they don't do it properly to make themselves happy, that's too bad. I will give my talks, I will write my articles and my books and other things, I will do the counseling that I do, I will do all those things, and if the other stuff isn't okay and ready to go, dump it, throw it in the ocean, doesn't matter. Just lectures that I have given and we put on tapes and on discs and on this and on that. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Isn't it interesting when we moved from one location here to another, I had containers like this filled with tapes, cassette tapes. And they were old ones. They were certainly not worth anything, but they were tapes that I had been keeping for at least 20 years, maybe longer. And the first thing we did was to dump them in the trash, because there was nobody who was going to go looking at them, nobody who was going to go focusing on them or saying anything about it. And they were tapes that I had made when I had a different approach to the philosophy than I have now. And perhaps that was the most intelligent thing we could have done. Because now we have tapes piled up just as high as they were then, and just as indecipherable, just as unlocatable, just as uninterested by our need as those were. So, you see, to be happy, you flow with life the way it is. When Jerome wakes up in the morning, he looks outside, raining. Wow, I'm going to wear my raincoat today. Oh boy, I'm going to slush in the mud. If it's snowing, wow, a slide down the street. If it's a sunny day, great, I can wear my shorts. You see, find a blessing in every circumstance in life, in every condition of life, in every way of life. And Luna, as you know, this Jack Russell Terrier that Gertrude has, Luna does nothing with her life at all except to find what makes her happy. And whenever she finds something that makes her happy, she goes to it tooth and nail. If she finds a candy bar that makes her happy, she's going to eat it faster than you can say Jack Russell Terrier, because she doesn't want anyone to disturb her in the middle of her project. And this is how we should be looking at life. We should take the challenges and the opportunities that come along and get so excited about them that we don't want anyone to stop us until we're done. Because that's pretty wonderful. That's pretty wonderful. Think about these things for yourself. Happiness comes not from how busy I am, but why I am busy. Busy work is the most defeating work you could ever do. It's just something to keep you busy. You know, there are a lot of employers who work for big companies who do not want to let their employees go, because if they reduce the number of employees they have in their department, they won't get any more next year. And they want to make sure that they keep a good balance. So they find busy work for them to do. They find moving files from this cabinet to that cabinet and that cabinet to this cabinet and moving this from here to there and that from here to here. And, you know, and it's very important looking work, you know. So it is the most important thing in the world. And it is pure, pure nonsense. Pure busy work. In fact, the cabinets may not even have anything in it. But you don't know that because you're not working on it. Somebody else is. Somebody else who has to be kept busy. So let's create our life not with busy work, but with happy work. Work that makes us feel satisfied, fulfilled, and makes us feel like we are really contributing something to the world in which we live. Happiness comes not from how busy I am, but why I am busy. You're all wonderful. I love you. Have a wonderful day and do great things, because life has just begun and you are in the middle of it.
Thank you.
So, happiness is.